Okay. Today is March 27th, 2018. What is your name?
Jim Daly.
And where do you live?
Ashland, Kansas.
And what is your occupation?
Farmer, rancher, slash crop adjuster, slash county commissioner.
Okay, and how old are you?
68.
So, when did you first become aware of the Starbuck Fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
I was first aware of this. I was traveling to Iowa for school for my crop adjusting, and my wife called and showed pictures of the fire. That's when I first became aware of what was going on.
And did you make it to your crop school?
I made it to my crop school. I worried about my family, so I turned around and drove back home immediately.
So how long did it take you to get back, and what happened in the time that you were gone?
It took me 15 hours to drive back home. In that time frame, I learned that my son and my wife had pretty much taken care of things here. The fire was terrible, but most of everything around Ashland and our place was saved, and our cattle, we did not lose any cattle. And then when I got back home, the fires were still burning, and we just went on from there.
So did your family evacuate, or did they kind of stay in town?
No, my family did evacuate. They went to Meade via through Coldwater. I think they had to go clear back around Buckland and back over to Meade.
Okay. And then were you in contact with other commissioners while you were gone?
No, I was not. I got back in a time frame where I didn't have to be in contact with them.
Okay, so all your cattle were okay. Did you lose a lot of fence?
Yes, lost a lot of
grass.
Fence, a lot of grass.
Okay, and did you have some place to take your cattle?
well, actually, we did. We didn't lose some grass west of town, and we moved all our cattle west of town.
Okay, so once you got back, were you having to be involved as a commissioner?
Yes, we were involved on a daily basis. We had a meeting every morning with the team at the Emergency Management Center, and they informed us that what was developing and how they were handling the situation. And if they asked for our approval, which they were doing a great job, which... So we didn't have to really...
Did you have to make a lot of decisions?
Not so many decisions as to just making sure that we were there for them if they needed something, that we could get it for them.
Like, give me an idea of things that you would get for them.
Well, they wanted to make sure that the financial assistance would be there if needed. And we could back that up, and we said we could any way we had to, as long as everybody was safe.
So, did you have to spend a lot of time taking care of your own stuff, or did you go out and help look over the county to see what kind of damage was done?
We pretty much went out over the county and helped with damage that was needed taken care of.
So what were some of your thoughts, or what kind of things did you see when you were going out?
Devastation. There's no words that can explain what this county looked like at that point in time. You know, I hate to paraphrase everything, but it did look like a war zone. And there's just no way to explain it. I mean, it was terrible.
Did you travel most of the county? Did you, like,
yeah,
start on one end and go the other? Or?
Yes, traveled all of it.
And did you do it as three commissioners together, or did you do
no,
it individually?
No, separate. separate. We couldn't travel together because it wasn't a formal meeting or anything. So we pretty much kind of did that on our own.
And what type of help could you offer people? Or what did the county have to do? Like, there were some burned bridges, there was different, like, roads, or did you have to do some reconstruction, or
did no. Actually, we really lucked out on that part of it as being a county. The infrastructure was pretty well maintained, but as far as what we could do as a county, we offered our services to anybody and everybody, and we helped clean up Englewood after the fire and stuff because it went through there pretty bad, and anything else that we could do, we did for the farmers and ranchers.
Okay, let's go back to the fire. Was county equipment involved in fighting the fire?
Yes.
And what type of equipment was used?
Well,
or everybody?
Our maintainers, which are road graders, the personnel that wanted to go out and help with that were all involved. Our tankers, we were involved in that. Our dozer work was involved. Anything that we could do, we provided.
So you have one tanker?
Two.
Two. How much water do they carry?
Approximately probably 6,000 to 8,000 gallons.
Each?
Yeah.
And then you have one bulldozer?
Yes.
More? And then graders?
We have six graders. Now, how many was actually involved in that, I do not know. But probably three of those were involved.
Are they, scattered out throughout the county, so...
Yes.
Would they have been in a place where they could have been possibly in the fire?
Oh, yes, they were. They were in it. They were right in the middle of the fire in Englewood while that was going on.
So but nothing, no damage was done to the equipment?
Some damage, yes.
Like what type of stuff?
Well, it got so intense, and he got so intense, I think a few lines were melted and things like that, but nothing severe.
Yeah, like...
We lost no patrol. We lost no equipment. We lost, okay. Yeah.
So you didn't really know there was a fire coming, but what, since your son was here and your wife, what type of things did they do to make sure that your property and cattle were safe?
Well, they just kind of maintained where the fire was at. My son brought the cattle down to the pens and put them in the pens and stuff where there was no grass, actually. And the fire just went like 300 or 400 feet to the east of them, which saved their lives, saved all our cattle. And basically, that's about it. I mean, they just did everything they could do to provide safety for our livestock.
Okay, so once the fire was over, did you have hay come? Did you need hay?
We needed hay. We got a few loads of hay.
Did you get some of the fencing material?
Not very much of the fencing material.
Did you take advantage of the Community Foundation and the KLA that was offering help for people
who
lost
it? We got a little bit of money for the Community Foundation. We got nothing from the KLA or anything like that.
So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
I guess coming back and seeing a black, scorched county and not realizing how bad it could look, actually.
Which way did you come? Did you come from Buckland?
Came from Buckland. And when I, actually that morning when I got back, I drove all night, I got back, and it was still, the road was still blocked in Buckland. And they just opened it up and I just got through to get back home. But I could not believe coming over those hills and looking down on the county and looking at this and thinking this was pure hell.
Was there lots of cattle or could you see dead deer? Anything close to the highway?
Not very many animals were close to the highway, no.
So when you turned the corner and came west and there's no houses, but you have some land out here too.
Yes.
Did you stop and check your...
No, because we had no cattle out there. I did not even think about that. I wanted to get home and make sure everybody was okay at the house.
Yeah. And then, like, driving into town, just on the east side of town. What were your feelings about that? Because you've grown up here, right? And those places have been a part
of
your life.
They were all gone. You just couldn't believe. You know, there was no houses, no nothing. It looked terrible.
So, like I said, you've been around here most of your life, and you've seen wildfires before, or grass fires. A typical grass fire acts how? And then what would you, could you compare the two?
Oh, this was a rage. This wasn't a grass fire. I mean, with the winds and everything that happened, this was like the devil coming out of hell. I mean, this, like I said, it wasn't a grass fire. But it was terrible. I mean, I don't know how to describe. There's no words that can describe it. It was just something that could not be controlled. The winds, and with everything that fueled the fire, the big grass and the CRP, the no-till farming and stuff, and everything else, and the, like I said, in the winds, there was just no stopping this fire. It was like a rage. It was not a grass fire.
So the first meeting that you went to, had they already ordered the strike teams?
Yes.
And were they already coming in? Did you have anything to do with those people?
We just met with them every day, and they coordinated with us, the county commissioners.
Did you go out and navigate with them out
there? No, we did not. It was just a meeting twice a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. Not all the time in the evenings. We had usually two meetings a day.
What type of things did they have you talk about?
They were just telling us what they have done, how they have proceeded in trying to maintain the fire, where the fires were still hot, and what they were doing to try to control them.
So was there fire for a lot of days in a lot of different places?
Oh, yes.
I mean, the original fire was on Monday.
Yeah.
So did they still have big fires, like, say, Wednesday?
Yes. I can't remember the total days and how long the fires actually lasted. Yeah, it's been a year and a half.
Yeah. More fires since.
Yeah.
They released them.
They were still, yeah.
They released them on Saturday.
Yeah. So they went on for a week, and the fires were still burning after they left in some spots, but not. They were mostly trees and things like that.
Yeah. Did you go out and watch them fight fire? Or?
No, we didn't, because we didn't feel like we needed to be in their way, and we didn't know exactly where to be or what to do. So we left that up to the people that know what they were doing and stuff, and we were just moral support back home, giving them all the support we could where we needed to give it. And
so did you take supplies out to people? Because Englewood didn't have electricity.
Yes.
So what type of things did you take?
Matter of fact, we took a lot of supplies to Englewood, water, food, clothing. Mm-hmm. They set up a shelter down there in the high school. The old high school, and two or three times we took water down there to them and whatever they needed.
So they have trouble getting electricity back?
Yes.
Did it take a while?
Yes, it did.
A lot of poles down?
Yes.
So all of the donations that came in, were you amazed at what type of things were donated?
Couldn't believe it. I mean, there's still a few things around that there was so much donated. You couldn't believe the generosity of the people.
Where were you most surprised that people donated?
I think everything. Clothing was phenomenal. I mean, they just got rid of some of the excess clothing the other day that they had at the city building. So clothing and water, anything like that. And the fencing materials came in here by abundance. And the hay, there's no, you know, you can, there's a list that you could go on forever and ever. It's just, You can't believe what people brought.
Did you take advantage of the volunteers that came?
Did
you have anybody
did.
Come help you?
Yes.
Like, what types of things did you have them do?
They rolled up wire. They did. We had a group from Minnesota come in here that helped me. They were from all over. But the group that helped me was from Minnesota. There were 10 kids that went out and helped me roll wire up 2 days, boys and girls. And I think this story needs to be put out there. When they left here, when they came down here, those kids had to give, had to buy their way to come down here.
Were they 4-H'ers or church kids?
FFA.
Or FA?
They had to put up $100. But when it was all said and done, they got enough money donated that they didn't have to give their money. But when they got down here, when we got done rolling up that wire, these kids tried to give me that money.
So how long were they here?
Just a weekend. They got here Friday evening. They helped me Saturday and Sunday morning, and they left Sunday afternoon.
Were they part of the kids that they took on a tour of the county?
Yes, they were.
And where did they take them? Do you know?
They took them to Gardner's. They took them up by the Clark County Lake.
Took them out to the basin?
The basin. And I think that was only three places. I can't remember. I think those were the only three places they took. And toured a little bit of the, you know, of course, the county and stuff.
Yeah. What were some of their comments? I mean, probably none of them had been to Kansas before,
no,
right?
No, they couldn't believe what it looked like down here.
As in flat?
Yes. But they loved it. They really liked the territory and everything. And they, of course, those kids up there heard about the deer and stuff that were down here. And they didn't get to see them, of course, but they thought about that and things like that. But they did really like the area. They really did. And I still stay in touch with two or three of the boys that came out here.
Yeah, cool. Any plans for them to come back?
No, I don't think so.
Were they high school?
Yes.
Kids? Okay. So who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful to you as a farmer or to the county or to the whole community?
Well, as a farmer, Ashland Feed and Seed, I think I take credit for kind of being the head of that, taking in the donations on the feed and stuff. I don't think we can overlook the Ashland High School and their staff. They worked hard. The school provided a home for all those people and fed them. And who were some of the other people that really helped? Of course, our emergency management team did a great job. Our firefighters did an excellent job. You just can't praise them enough, I don't think. And all the firefighters that came in here, actually. But I think our three fire departments are probably the best in the world.
So did you go take advantage of the meals at the school?
No, I did not.
Or at the camp?
No.
You stopped over there?
And whoever run the camp deal did an excellent job for those people. I don't know who provided all that service down there, but all the food that was donated down there, everything was excellent. But
yeah, they had lots of food come in.
Oh, God.
What kind of effect, physical, financial, emotional, has the fire had on you, on the community?
Well, I think the financial part of it. If it wouldn't have been for the assistance, it'd been devastating. A lot of people wouldn't be able to rebuild. The mental portion of it is, you know, it's terrible, especially for the people that lost their homes and a lot of cattle. that will always be with them. You know, I mean, every time you smell smoke, you're going to be sitting on edge now for quite a while.
So did you help bury cattle or go out and...
We went up and helped bury a few cattle at Bo's Idens and stuff, but I didn't bury a lot of cattle.
Did you shoot any?
No, I did not.
Had the game wardens take care of that pretty much?
Game wardens, and I think some other people assisted in that. I'm not sure exactly who all did that, but I don't know.
Can you perceive of anything positive that's resulted from the fire?
Anything? Well, with all the negatives, there's always got to be a positive. So I think it showed people that there are people that care, and probably agriculture is one of the greatest industries to be in, because everything that was donated and to help people survive and everything, there's nothing better than, it's just a mainstay of America. I mean, agriculture's it, because people care so much about one another. So there's positive in all of it. Definitely. And that'd be it, I think.
So how much do you think the volunteers coming in so quickly, even while the fire was going on, helped the people of the communities deal with the aftermath of the fire? Do you think that was a positive thing? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it helped a lot. There were some groups that came in that talked to people and helped them with their mental inabilities and stuff to deal with something this devastating. You know, I think they did a great job. I think a lot of people appreciated it, and it helped them a lot. I know some people really thought a lot about that.
So have most people got most of their fences rebuilt? And
yes.
Is the county kind of moving forward? Or?
Oh, it's moving forward in a whirlwind. And the fences are probably, I would say, 95% done. So, yeah, everybody's moving forward and trying to not look back. And hopefully this drought will get over with and everybody can get to going really good again.
We recently had another fire on March 5th that kind of started out the same way as this fire a year ago did. What were your first thoughts when you heard about that fire?
Well, the worst part about this deal is a year ago on March 5th, I was headed to Iowa to train in my crop adjuster. Mm-hmm. The last school, I was headed to Missouri for some more training in school. And I got the fire, got the notice of the fire. But they had it under control. I found out because I turned around and started headed home. They said, no, go forget it. We got everything done.
So
you know, and 1 year later, and you get another fire on the same date almost, the same time, you don't know what to think. You think, my goodness, what else could happen to this community to tear it down, you know?
Do you think we were more prepared for this one?
Things
worked a little bit better.
I don't know. I think we're prepared better. I just think we got lucky and this was the type of fire that we could control very quick. But I think we're prepared a lot better than we were. And I think the state is prepared. They've learned what they need to do to help the people in rural communities to fight a fire.
So have you been involved in a lot of seminars or conferences or just meetings where they've talked about the aftermath of the fire and how things could go better or what needs to improve?
We've been involved in two or three meetings, and we met with the general from Fort Riley. He was actually head of the emergency management team. And what they've learned, they had no help for us out here in rural America with like choppers and stuff that could drop water and things. And I think they're better. And I think we learned that from the last fire. I think that in Oklahoma they've learned that through those fires here in recent times, that they're getting that help quicker and faster where it's needed. So I think, yes, they've learned a lot from this fire here in Clark County. The Starbuck fire, I think, opened everybody's eyes that they needed to get on the ball.
So what can you do or have you done to prepare for another fire as a citizen and as a commissioner?
Well, as commissioners, we're helping the volunteer fire departments with better equipment. Everything we can do for the volunteer fire departments.
Like what kind of stuff? Well, did you get them new equipment?
Well, they bought two new trucks, or a few new trucks. I think two new trucks now. And help maintain everything in a better fashion. But other than that, we're just behind them 100%.
So what about as a community person, as a farmer, what type of things have you done to prepare for another fire?
Well, really haven't done all that much other than try to get the FSA and the NRCS to let us graze a CRP or do something, or do controlled burning, maybe, to help so there isn't so much fuel out there for a fire. And I think that's really, really important that they either let us graze that or hay it or get the stubble down where it's not so tall. Because that's really, I think that was one of the major factors in the fire that really hurt us. And we couldn't control it. So much CRP, and it was so big that...
And it's back up there now.
Yes, and it's back up there now.
So and what about the cattle? Because they have some plans or programs to replace cattle, mm-hmm. but they all had caps on them. Have they kind of changed those?
They've changed the caps. I don't know what the limit is now, but they have changed caps.
They did open some of that stuff
yes.
up.
Yes.
If you were to have to evacuate, if like you were here and your wife needed to take certain things, have you spoken about what type of heirlooms you'd want to take?
No, we have no. Just get out and save your life. Forget the heirlooms.
It's important as the
people. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't got time, don't worry about it. The life, you know, you can create more memories. You just can't bring back a life.
Yep. So when you were traveling back home, what type of thoughts were you having? Were you keeping in contact with your family? Or?
Yeah, keeping in contact. Thoughts were rapid. I mean, not knowing what to find, not knowing what to expect. I mean, it was probably the only thing that kept me going because I drove 15 hours one way and came back 15 hours.
Without stopping, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to stop for like 5 hours because there was a tornado in Iowa and they wouldn't let me leave the town. It's crazy, but left and got home.
So were you listening to the radio on your way home or anything?
No, I did not. I did not want to listen to a radio because I thought that would really upset me. I just kept in contact. I'd stop. When I had to stop for gas, I would call my wife, see what was going on, and then I just drove.
Till you got here. Yeah. So was it better or worse than what you expected?
Oh, it was worse. A lot worse. I've never, there's no words to describe it. It was terrible. I thought it was terrible. You could still see the fires and stuff blazing around when I got home and I'm going.
Did you get home in the dark or did you get home in...
I got
daylight.
Home in the evening, and you could in the dusk, and you could still see those fires down south, you know. And it was
a lot of smoke in the air still.
And, oh, terrible!
Smell.
Smell. The smell lasted, of course, for a week or longer. Still, it started raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was 10 days after the fire, you know. Yeah. And they, even to that point in time, after the rain, it was still. You know, and it affected you driving out through those pastures and looking around. You come home and you just cough and It was terrible.
When you were building fence or tearing down fence, did you stir up a lot of ash?
Oh, it was terrible, yeah. You were just black at the end of the day.
So what about those kids that came and helped? Did they have extra clothes or shoes?
Oh, yes, yeah.
They were prepared,
More
or less?
Yeah. And what they didn't have, we got for them. You know, anything we could, we got.
Did they stay at the camp?
Yes.
And then I know they had lots of, like, gloves and stuff there. Did they take advantage of
that? Yeah. Yeah, and there was an abundance of that. I mean, it was crazy how much stuff was done there.
And again, all donated stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, do you have any other thoughts about this experience?
I hope I never see it again, like everybody else. Yeah. Don't want to go through this again in my lifetime. Other than that, I'm just glad nobody was killed. I mean, you know, the animals can be replaced. It was bad. It was terrible. But I know there was one life lost, but it could have been a lot worse. A lot of people were very, very lucky. And I'm grateful for that, and I just wish the next time, if it ever does happen, I hope people don't take the chances they took, because we may not be that fortunate.
Do you think it was wise to evacuate the town?
Sure.
And do you think it should have been a longer evacuation than what they had?
Oh, I think they pretty much had a handle on it. No, I don't. They had it down. I think they were all right in doing what they did.
So, were you amazed at the number of people that did evacuate?
Yeah, I was. I figured everybody'd stay. Or more people would stay, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. A lot of people were antsy to come back early.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Sure you would be, but you wanted to see if you still had a home, you know.
Yeah.
So, can't blame them for that.
So, anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your story with us.